Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Esbach HaShulah's story is one that that leaves us just a little bit perplexed. As I mentioned earlier, the ANC almost had this pathological need to close ranks, to deal with things internally and not showcase some of those internal workings to the rest of the country. Well, that has broken down. It slowly started to erode over the last couple of years. But what we're seeing now is not pretty at all. How do we deal with this? Joining us on the line is Sherilyn Dudley, South African politician who has served as a member of the National Assembly of South Africa. A very, very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
Hi, Howard. I'm great. Thanks. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. It's you know, the old saying that we laugh through the tears. It's definitely our Marilee's moment. We've ridden into, we can't help but ride into these goalposts. And we just shake our head in wonderment. But what does this all mean, really? When we stop laughing, should we be weeping?
No, don't stop laughing. I think it's our saving grace.
I think so too, as South Africans.
But of course, you know what I've always said to people is, if you're feeling a bit depressed about current times, just pick up a history book and you'll be rather grateful that you're dealing with the challenges of today rather than yesterday.
That is true.
So for me, it's all good. This is how it is, you know, and obviously Magashula's attempt to suspend the president looks, thank God, to be a desperate attempt to do the impossible. And having said this, the politics and balance of powers within the party is still unpredictable, and the extent to which Magashula has sway over the ANC branches and the mood of members is still to be tested. But my gut feeling, which I hope is not just wishful thinking, is that the ANC broadly is buying into the new culture that is closing the door on that old way of allowing corrupt practices to flourish. And it's the old ANC culture, but it's also an old global culture. So everywhere in every part of the world, people are dealing with this. We're just doing it so incredibly transparently.
That's actually an interesting point, is because South Africans do like to talk, and we do talk about these things. We're very active on social media. We're active all over the place. So maybe that is much healthier. We'll get there perhaps a little bit quicker. We certainly have, through all of this, haven't really seen conflict within the NEC in terms of these decisions. I'm assuming that is very good news.
It is very good news because that was where the balance of power was so precarious and kind of is so precarious. However, as I say, you know, with the insistence and the kind of, because of the transparency, that the kind of pressure that was on people to have to, and the leadership and guidance of a president like Ramaphosa, who chooses to always be behaving in a democratic fashion and not as a dictator, which frustrates a lot of people. But he sticks with that with that place of not bulldozing, not bullying, but actually staying strong in terms of what's the right thing to do. And it appears that those who I have great confidence in, because from where I sat, I saw an incredible depth of leadership. So I feel as if that has spread from him into giving the confidence to those around him to be able to do the right thing, to choose to do the right thing. It certainly is miraculous.
Where's David Mabuza in all of this?
Sorry?
Where is Mabuza in all of this?
Well, yes, interesting character. I started to look a little at him. In terms of his past friendship and closeness with Jacob Zuma, very sort of entangled in sort of family and friendship. But it appears at some point that Mabuza definitely stepped back away from that relationship in terms of looking at things as an individual, in terms of looking at things from where he's placed now, the responsibility he's been given, and the commitments that he needs to make to democracy and to the job that he's been invested for.
It's almost, one gets the sense that he is almost saying, you know, he's almost like putting his head down and saying, I'm going to get on with my jobs. Please don't look at me because I don't want to go the way of Ace at all. So just, please ignore me while I carry on and do my thing.
Yeah. And I think he really is the kingpin in the sense that he was what things were hinging on. If he decided to keep his old emotional ties, I think the balance of power would look very different. The fact that it appears to me is that Ramaphosa's strength of character has in fact given him the confidence to be a stronger individual.
That's interesting. It's a nice way of looking at it, a positive way of looking at it.
Deal with those emotional ties that everybody must have. You know, who helped who when they were in trouble? You know,
those. Yeah. Well, that's how loyalties, especially around and within the ANC and in other political parties, that's how they're built. One of the concerns that I've had over the last while was almost this, and whether it was an intended or unintended strategy, that we were shown a divided ANC, a two ANCs, a good ANC and a bad ANC. And any time that anything bad happened, a good ANC could just lob it over the wall and comfortably say to us, well, no, it's not us, it's the bad ANC. Do you think that given these events that have started unfolding, that is now no longer going to be a thing, and that we are going to see an ANC that is with better governance, with good governance?
I'm very hopeful. You know, having listened to every word of Ramaphosa's testimony as the leader of the ANC, I'm obviously looking forward to his submission in terms of being the leader of the country. But it was very encouraging. And then, of course, listening to others who in the ANC who have come kicking and screaming into the Zonda submission, who are now saying, no, if we're going to have the courage to do this, which we've been told we have to now, then let's get it right. Because even Ramaphosa was treading a little carefully because he's so aware of the precarious balance of power within the ANC, and particularly on that NEC. He was having to tread really carefully not to look like he wasn't speaking as the leader of the one ANC. But others were saying, no, then let's go further, because this is not about good guys and bad guys and those who were involved in corruption and those who weren't. The entire culture of the ANC was built from the beginning on this, in terms of every businessman in the country, every state-owned enterprise in the country was expected to actually put the ANC first, financially and in every other way. So it's never not been the culture. Now, clearly, they've drawn a line. It's not the culture. And this is coming from people who came in kicking and screaming and now are being so brutally honest in terms of every detail. So I really do think that Ramaphosa, in his frustratingly calm and measured way, allowed people to get on board. So he sort of burst the boil, but he's done it
very interesting. Because
empathetically.
Because I certainly have been very frustrated. I've written an article referring to him as Hamlet, the ultimate procrastinator. We supported him in the beginning. We knew he had to come in and avenge, bring good back to the rotten state of Denmark. But ultimately everybody dies at the end because he doesn't act quickly enough. But I love your perspective because it is a bit different and it is more hopeful. It describes a process rather than the sort of wild, chaotic thing that we've almost come to expect as of late from the ANC. We do need to leave it there. Sherilyn Dudley, thank you for a very, very interesting conversation. Sherilyn is a South African politician who has served as a member of the National Assembly of South Africa.